All right, hi everyone. Today we are reading for the first Sunday in Lent from Genesis chapter 22, and is the pretty well-known story of when God tests Abraham's faith by asking him to sacrifice his son Isaac. So we start at verse 1 in chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, or Moriah, however you want to pronounce that, land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and the sand that is on the seashore. And your offering shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So this is a pretty well-known story and has a number of times been drawn as a parallel between the story of Abraham and Isaac and between God and Jesus, his only son, as the word says several times, your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. And so we can look at it in the sense of it being a story of faith, a story of trust, a story of the sacrifice that Abraham, a trusting follower, believer, would make in order to not necessarily prove his faith. He wasn't trying to prove anything. He was simply being obedient. He was doing what God had asked him to do. And he'd been obedient since he had been sent from, you know, his homeland out to find the promised land or to find the place where he would dwell. So this isn't atypical for Abraham, and this isn't sort of an unusual circumstance for him, except the extremity, the extreme nature of what God is asking him to do. He's asking him to sacrifice his only son, the son that he loves, Isaac, as sort of a testament to his faith. And Abraham's willing to go through it. He's willing to go through this process of sacrificing his son for his obedience, being obedient. I want to take a little different look, as I like to do with these texts, and take just a little bit of a different look at it. I want us to imagine hearing this story retold for the very first time. if we can do that. I know it's hard because we've heard this story so many times, but I want to sort of picture it as we're the first group of people to hear this story. What goes through your head when we hear a story like this, that there's so much leading up to what's going to happen on the mountaintop, that it's really quite a thriller, a nail biter, a cliffhanger, as you're hearing this story recounted. So as we're hearing it, God tests Abraham and says, take your son and go to the land that I show you and to the mountain that I show you and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. So the first thing you hear when, you know, Abraham maybe retells the story and he says, well, God spoke to me and said I was going to do this. And, you know, were you going to do it? Really? You were going to take your son up to this mountain and offer him there? You're going to kill him like a lamb at the slaughter? You were going to do that? And just again, the questions that come up, what is that going to look like? How are you going to do that? How would you do that? Why would you do that? And always displaying the obedience. And so as he continues to recount this story, you know, it was 3 days from where he was to where he was going. And what did you do in those 3 days? How did you keep it a secret from Isaac that this was what was going to happen? And how did you keep it a secret from the people that you were with, the travelers you took with you, the helpers that you took with you? And did you tell Sarah? Did you tell Sarah before you left that you were going to do this? Or did you just kind of, I got obedient and I'm going to go and do it? It really is a bit of a suspenseful tale. And they get to the mountain and Isaac asks that first question. Well, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, and we've got the knife, but where's the offering, Dad? Where's the lamb that we usually use for these things? I don't see one. We didn't bring one. Were we supposed to pick one up along the way? And Abraham's sort of puzzling response of the Lord will provide when an offering is necessary. Okay, I don't know exactly what that means, but we'll see what happens, Isaac, you know. And so they go up the mountain, and again, what's going through Isaac's head? What kind of questions did he ask along the way? What was Abraham thinking? You know, was he praying? Was he hoping that he wouldn't have to do this? Was he hoping, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he wouldn't have to go to the cross? If there's any other way, God, for this to happen, is there something else you can do? Or do I have to go through it? And we hear these suspenseful things, these nail-biting tales, stories, events in our history. And we can't really help but think of our own lives as equally suspenseful, equally nail-biting. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. We don't know what God is going to ask of us. We don't know how long we have or what events are going to take place or where God is going to call us. We just don't know. We can live life sort of like, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. One of my, you know, phrases that drives me nuts, you know, it is what it is. Such a meaningless phrase, especially when it comes to the life of a faithful person. It is what it is. It's the life of a faithful follower of God is one of unsuspected, unexpected events, things that take place that could either drive you crazy or give you a thrill a minute. You just don't know. Here in Oregon, it's like just today we were having church this morning, and you know, all of a sudden there's this cloud burst, pours rain for like 10 minutes, and then it's blue sky, sunshine. It changes. So life is kind of like that, you know. It's something happens all of a sudden, and then as soon as you think it's gonna just continue on forever, it changes, and you just don't know. So in this season of Lent, I think we need to sort of take an opportunity to look around us and see, you know, what are these unexpected things? What things in my life have been unexpected, have been surprising? And they're not all good. And I want to say that pretty clearly. They're not all good. They're not all favorable in the sense of, boy, I'm really going to enjoy this. A lot of times, the unexpected are tragic. The unexpected things take a turn, as we say, take a turn for the worse. We don't expect them to be always happy and joyful and, you know, sing-songy. Sometimes the things that change at a moment's notice, the nail-biter things, the cliffhanger things, we just don't know. So it ultimately comes down. Oh, wait, we gotta finish the story first, right? So, sorry, we're recounting this story of Abraham. And so they go up on the mountaintop and they build the altar, they get everything ready. And what's gonna happen next? How is Abraham gonna convince Isaac to lay down on the wood? You know, Isaac's not like 5 years old, he's an older son. And so how are you going to convince him that this is what God wants? How are you going to do it, Abraham? You're an old, old man. How are you going to overpower Isaac and get him to be on the altar? But scripture just says that he bound Isaac and laid him on the altar. There's a lot of unanswered questions in there. How did that happen? Was Isaac just obedient as Abraham and let him bind himself? We don't know, but there he is. Now what's gonna happen next? What could possibly, is he gonna go through with it? Is he gonna take the knife? And is he gonna cut his son's throat? Is he gonna bleed him out like he would a lamb? What is gonna happen? So we read on, we hear the tale retold and Abraham takes the knife. And has the fire. He is ready to do it. He's got the knife at his son's throat. And we just don't know what, you know, that's about the time you go to commercial break, right? Where you're left going, what happens? What happens next? And as the knife is getting ready to be placed on his throat, the angel intervenes. Whew, the angel intervenes. He says, wait, don't do it. It was a test. We wouldn't have let you go through with it. It was a test of faith, and you were obedient. So don't do it. Well, okay. Now Abraham, you know, probably breathes such a sigh of relief. He probably breaks down crying that he almost had to go through it. And Isaac, you know, singing alleluias because he almost saw the end of his life there on the altar. There with a sacrifice. And so now that part's over. We can breathe. So it was a testament. It was a testimony. It was a test of faith for Abraham and for Isaac that we would see this take place. And God intervenes. So when we go through Lent and we see these things happening, what are the things that we can rejoice in? What are the things that are going to cause us to be challenged? It's all, I suppose you could look at it almost, that all of life is a test of faith. Do you continue on when things seem so bleak? Do you keep going when the prognosis is not good? Do you continue on, or do you just give up? Do you continue fighting? Do you continue trusting? And thanks be to God for the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of His church in our lives, so that when these times come, when the unexpected happens, when the bottom drops out, when the carpet is pulled out from under us, rug is pulled out from under us, and we're left sort of shaking, quivering, not knowing which way to go, that the Lord intervenes and He says, I'm here. You know, Abraham, Abraham. You know, call out your name and say, trust. Just trust and obey. There's a great hymn about that, trust and obey. Like there's no other way, because there's no other way, that we trust in God, even when, and especially when, it's a cliffhanger. even when and especially when we don't know what's gonna happen next. We trust in God, we continue on. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we do that, because normally what we would do as humans is say, well, forget it. I'm done. I'm pulling out. I'm finished with this. I'm throwing in the towel. Forget it. But it's the Holy Spirit that says, no, wait. Stick with it. Keep with it. Keep going. Keep running the race. Keep fighting the fight. And we turn to our brothers and sisters around us and say, I need help fighting the fight. Gather with me. Link arms. You know, trust and hold me up. And we do. We do that for one another, especially when things are cliffhangers, when we don't know what's next. And this life, we really don't know what's next. And so we trust. We trust in God. And I can say that I it sounds flippant, and I don't want it to sound flippant. I don't mean it to sound flippant, because it's not. It's not a light thing. It's not an easy thing to trust, especially when circumstances are unknown, unexpected, unclear. The pathway is not well lit. And so here is where we turn once again to the Word. We turn once again to the Word, and we see Jesus as that sacrifice for us, the one who trusted his Father enough to go to the cross and die there for us, to take on everything, every unexpected turn, every cliffhanger, every nail biter, every thriller of Christian life. And it's all in him. So we trust as best as we can with the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's going to happen next? We'll have to see. And I'm excited to see with you